Welcome to Listen 2. This is Ted. The news was published on Monday, October 7th. Joining us today are our guests, Eric and Kate. We've got a fascinating topic to dive into, so let's get started. Today, we're discussing a fascinating development in the world of medicine. A drug called rapamycin, typically used to prevent organ rejection in kidney transplant patients, is now being explored for its potential to slow down aging. Let's dive into the details. Eric, what can you tell us about rapamycin and its current uses?
Well, Ted, rapamycin, also known as sirolimus, is quite the Swiss Army knife of drugs. It's FDA approved as an immunosuppressant, primarily used to keep kidney transplant patients from rejecting their new organs. It's also got some tricks up its sleeve when it comes to fighting certain cancers. But here's where it gets really interesting. Researchers are now eyeing it as a potential fountain of youth, so to speak. They're looking into its off-label use as an anti-aging treatment. It's like discovering your trusty old wrench might also be able to turn back time.
That's right, Eric. But let's not get bogged down in the nitty-gritty of its current uses. The real excitement is in its potential to slow down aging.
Hold your horses, Kate. We can't just gloss over the fact that this is uncharted territory. The FDA hasn't given rapamycin the green light for anti-aging purposes.
Come on, Eric, you're being such a wet blanket. This could be revolutionary. Sure, it's not FDA approved for anti-aging yet, but that doesn't mean
interesting points from both of you. Now, let's talk about how rapamycin might affect aging. Kate, what's the science behind this?
Gladly, Ted. Rapamycin is like a tiny superhero targeting a key pathway in our cells called mTOR. It's not just lab rats benefiting. Studies have shown it can extend lifespan in various animals. We're talking about potentially preventing age-related diseases in humans. It's like turning back the clock on a cellular level. Imagine your cells doing the cha-cha slide back to their younger days. Who wouldn't want that?
Hold on, Kate. While that sounds like a miracle cure, we need to pump the brakes a bit. Most of these studies have been done on animals, not humans. We can't just
But Eric, there's already evidence of its benefits in humans. A recent review study found that rapamycin improved aging effects on the skin and enhanced immune and cardiovascular function in healthy
individuals. Sure, but we're talking about using a powerful immunosuppressant drug in otherwise healthy people. That's a big leap. We need to consider the potential risks and side effects.
The benefits could outweigh the risks. Some clinics are already using rapamycin off-label for anti-aging purposes and seeing positive results. People are reporting feeling more energetic, seeing improvements.
That's concerning. Off-label use means it hasn't been thoroughly tested for this purpose. We could be opening a Pandora's box of unintended consequences. Just because a few
Let's dig deeper into how rapamycin might work to slow aging. Eric, what's your take on the mechanism?
All right, let's break it down. Some experts believe rapamycin might slow aging by reducing the accumulation of senescent cells. Think of these as the cranky old cells in your body that refuse to retire. They don't function properly anymore, but they stick around causing trouble like that one coworker who should have left years ago. These senescent cells contribute to tissue deterioration and inflammation. It's like having a bunch of rusty cogs in a machine. They slow everything down and can cause damage.
Exactly. By slowing the rate at which healthy cells transform into these troublemaker senescent cells, rapamycin could potentially preserve organ function and overall health as we age. It's like giving our body's cells a tune-up.
That's an oversimplification, Kate. We're talking about fundamentally altering cellular processes. We don't fully understand the long-term implications of this. It's not just a simple tune-up.
Let's put rapamycin in a broader context. Can you think of any similar historic events where a drug was repurposed for an entirely different use? Eric, any thoughts?
Absolutely, Ted. This rapamycin situation reminds me of the accidental discovery of penicillin's antibacterial properties. Back in 1928, Alexander Fleming, a bit of a messy scientist, accidentally discovered that mold contaminating his petri dishes was killing bacteria. It was like finding out your moldy sandwich in the back of the fridge could cure infections. This serendipitous discovery led to the development of penicillin as an antibiotic, revolutionizing medicine. It's a classic case of scientific serendipity. Sometimes the biggest breakthroughs come from the most unexpected places.
That's a great example, Eric. penicillin went on to save millions of lives. Rapamycin could have a similar impact on aging and longevity.
Hold on, Kate.
Just think of
while penicillin's discovery was groundbreaking, it also led to antibiotic resistance due to overuse. We need to be cautious about potential unintended consequences with rapamycin. It's not just about the immediate benefits.
But Eric, the potential benefits are enormous. Just like penicillin transformed infectious disease treatment, rapamycin could revolutionize how we approach aging. We could be on the brink
of a new era. Interesting comparison. Now, let's consider another angle. Are there any other drugs currently used off-label that might provide insights into the rapamycin situation?
Well, there's the case of metformin, a diabetes drug that's been getting a lot of attention in the anti-aging field. It's like the reliable family sedan that suddenly got entered into a racing competition. Metformin has been used safely for decades to manage blood sugar, which gives us more confidence in its long-term effects. Now, researchers are exploring its potential to slow aging and reduce the risk of age-related diseases. It's a bit like rapamycin in that it's an existing drug being repurposed, but with a longer track record of safe use in humans.
Exactly. And look at the promising results we're seeing with metformin. This supports the idea that repurposing existing drugs for anti-aging could be a game changer. We're talking about potentially
adding years of therapy. But metformin and rapamycin are very different drugs with different mechanisms of action. We can't assume that because one drug shows promise, another will be equally safe and effective. It's not a one-size-fits-all.
You're being too cautious, Eric. These historic examples show us that thinking outside the box can lead to major medical breakthroughs. We should be embracing this potential, not holding it back.
I'd argue that caution is exactly what we need. History also shows us plenty of examples where rushing into new treatments led to harm. Remember thalidomide? It was marketed as a wonder drug, but
that's an extreme example. We have much better testing and monitoring systems now. Plus, rapamycin is already an approved drug. We're just exploring new uses for it.
Let's look to the future. How do you think this research into rapamycin might unfold? Eric, what's your prediction?
I think we'll see a slow, cautious approach, Ted, and that's a good thing. We're not talking about developing a new flavor of potato chips here. This is people's health and longevity at stake. There will be more rigorous clinical trials specifically designed to test rapamycin's effects on aging in humans. This process could take years, maybe even decades, before we have conclusive results. It's like watching paint dry, but in this case, the paint is the fountain of youth, and we need to make sure it doesn't turn out to be toxic.
That's far too pessimistic, Eric. I believe we'll see rapid progress. With so many people already using rapamycin off-label, we'll quickly gather real-world data on its effects. This could fast-track...
That's dangerously optimistic, Kate. Relying on uncontrolled off-label use for data is not good science. We need carefully controlled studies to truly understand the effects and risks.
The time is of the essence. People are aging right now. If rapamycin can help, we should make it available as soon as possible. We can't afford to wait decades.
Interesting perspectives. Now let's consider the broader implications. If rapamycin does prove effective for anti-aging, how might this change society? Kate, what's your vision?
Oh, Ted, it could be absolutely revolutionary. Imagine a world where people stay healthier and more active well into their later years. We're talking about grandparents keeping up with their grandkids on the playground, 80-year-olds running marathons, and people starting new careers in their 70s. We could see increased productivity, reduced healthcare costs, and a complete shift in how we view aging and retirement. It's like we'd be adding a whole new chapter to the human lifespan. And not just any chapter, but one full of vitality and possibilities.
That's a rosy picture, Kate, but there are serious ethical and societal issues to consider. Who would have access to this treatment? Would it exacerbate existing inequalities? And what about the environmental
impact? Those are challenges we can address. The benefits far outweigh the potential drawbacks. This could be the biggest medical breakthrough of our time. Just think of the possibilities. People living longer.
I think you're getting carried away. We need to approach this carefully, considering all possible outcomes, both positive and negative. It's not just about extending life, but about the quality of that.
Your caution is holding back progress, Eric. We should be embracing this potential and pushing forward with research and implementation. Every day we delay.
And your enthusiasm could lead to hasty decisions with far-reaching consequences. We need a balanced approach that prioritizes safety and thorough research. We can't just rush into.
Well, it's clear that rapamycin's potential as an anti-aging treatment is a complex and controversial topic. We've heard compelling arguments for both caution and enthusiasm. As research continues, it'll be fascinating to see how this unfolds. Thanks to Eric and Kate for their insights, and thanks to our listeners for tuning in. This is Ted, signing off from Listen 2.